ahead, lift your voice to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, you're worthy of praise and honor, glory. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be home. Amen. Somebody said there's no place like home. There's a lot of places. I've been to a lot of neat places, but there's just nothing like coming home. Amen. I'll leave it right there. Some things coming to mind, but we better move into the Word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse number 18. Along with Brother Waldrop, big welcome to our guests. I understand some was here Sunday and I wasn't here. Hopefully we'll get to meet you before you leave tonight. And praying for all of you that are listening online that God would minister to you also. Amen, amen. The Lord loves us, doesn't He? Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me. Can you say that together? Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. That's just a little verse there. Those that compiled our Bible just split off by itself. Looks a little, you know, you kind of just read past it. But there's a lot of things that took place in verse number 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I'm going to preach for the next few minutes. I do not believe I'll be very long tonight, but I'm going to talk to you about willing to follow. Willing to follow. I want the Lord to talk to us here today. Can you open your hearts and talk to the Lord? Ask Him to speak directly to you, that the Word of the Lord would find you where you are tonight. God, we need you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. God, thank you for that anointing that comes and destroys every yoke of bondage, God, that takes, Lord, the scales off of our eyes, oh God, that softens the heart, Lord. I pray, God, that you would draw by your spirit in this house tonight, that your work would be done in Jesus' name. Oh, let's give him praise together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. There is a successful businessman who, by the name of Herman Cain, some of you probably have heard of him, became a widely known public figure a few years back when he ran for the presidency, and ended up as a talk show host. And you could hear him here locally. I honestly don't know if he's, still on the air or not, to be honest with you. No? Okay. He did. I didn't even know that. Several years, I didn't realize he had passed away. I hadn't heard that. Several years ago, I was listening, and he was playing a recording, if I remember right, that of a speech that he gave to a group of young people, several hundred young people at a high school graduation. And he was telling them emphatically that they are the CEO of self. And I had made a note about that when I heard it several years ago. I've never used it or thought of it, but it just, something just didn't quite set well. And I liked the man. He was a great, I liked to listen to him, had good things to say. And he was trying to motivate them that, and help them realize that they could do great things in life, regardless of their social status, regardless of the environment that they came up in, regardless of whether or not someone believed in them or not, they could do it if they were in charge of self. And I appreciate him in his efforts to help young people, but the premise is flawed. The premise is flawed. This generation is obsessed with their rights, with what they want. Every group feels like they have an entitlement to certain rights that must be granted by everyone else. And all that means really is that they should, they feel they could, they should be able to do whatever they want to do without any repercussions, without any pushback, without any consequences for their decisions. Let me do what I want to do and don't criticize me for it, is their mantra. And anyway, this attitude that it is rampant throughout our generation, my generation. And at the source, at the root is a spirit of pride. Don't tell me what to do. I'm in charge of me. There is a spirit of selfishness that comes upon a person that says it's about what I want without regard for anything else. And not only is this a spirit that drives this attitude, but this is in this line of thinking, this mindset is in direct contradiction to the Word of God. He is the Creator, and we are the creation. Amen. He is the Master, and we are His servants. We listen when He speaks. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We obey when He gives the command. Is that sound a little bit more like your Bible here? Those that submit to God's ways enjoy God's benefits. Those who insist on doing things their way wonder why things never go their way. They're always chafing at situations in life. They're always touting, I want to do it my way. But you look at them and you watch them and they're frustrated because life doesn't go your way. And the unsubmitted lead very frustrated lives. The wise men said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You might want to chart your own path. You might want to head out and strike your own direction and make something out of yourself and be what they call a self-made man. But when you get done fulfilling the lust of your own vanity and your own flesh, the Bible said the end of that way is the way of eternal death, spiritual destruction. God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And so tonight we need to settle something. God knows what He's doing. I don't have a clue what I need to do. I don't know which direction I need to take. I don't know how to put one step in front of the other. Oh, the pride in a heart would say, I've got it all together, and I know what to do, and I've been doing this a long time. But I'm telling you, when you really take an analysis of how much you know, you look at God and say, I am nothing in your sight. When you're really honest with yourself, you've got to admit that my ways are the ways of destruction. Every time I try to do it my way, it ends up in failure. It ends up in heartbreak. I'm preaching to somebody. It's time that you submit yourself to the hand of God. And you can trust God. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? I can't trust my heart. Oh, trust your heart. How many's ever heard that? Oh, trust your heart. I remember where I was when it just dawned on me how false that is. And how unscriptural that is. I need the Lord. To help me understand my own heart. Yes, but you can trust the Lord. Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Yes, sir. It's hard for you to be in charge of yourself and let God direct your paths. It's hard for you to be the one in control and in charge, and I got this together. And trust the Lord. Where do you lead me, Lord? Where shall I go? Oh, hallelujah. Can't have it both ways, can we? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Not suggested. Not here's two or three roads. Take your pick. Smorgasbord of options here. No. No, they're ordered by the Lord. A wise man will say, God, order my steps. I don't want to take a wrong step. Too much is at stake to make a false move and go in a wrong direction. But God, I need you to order my steps. Matthew chapter 4 in our text, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee and He sees Peter and Andrew in this instance. And I was thinking about these men because we get glimpses of them throughout the Gospels, and especially Peter, a very colorful personality. But these were not weak men.
Not at all. Right.
These were not weak-minded men.
No way. Right.
You wouldn't look at them and say, "Oh, they're just a pushover."
No way.
No, these were men that grew up working.
Right.
And fishing in those days wasn't quite like it is today. With us recreational fishers. Now, there's still some in certain parts of the world that know what this is about, but this was hard work. When you think of a seaman, you don't think of a meek and a quiet spirit, do you? You think of someone who knows how to take charge. You think of someone who knows how to handle himself, and you're not going to come push him over. He might knock your head, you know? That's the kind of men that Jesus, and I wondered how long Jesus might have sat there and watched them as they applied their skill to their craft and they handled those nets with experience. They knew what they were doing. These were men of competence. These were men that could teach you a thing about fishing. And Jesus said, that's the kind of man that I want. He didn't pick weak men. He didn't pick men that just would, yeah, yes, man, that just tell me whatever I need to do and I'll do it. No, he picked men that had strength and had vigor. But he picked men that were willing to get in step and follow. Brother Garrett, can you help me just for a minute? If you're the master of your life and you're trying to chart your own way, but you're following me, just for an analogy's sake, who's really in control? You can't have it both ways. You can't chart your own path and do your own thing and be your own man and make your own decisions and still follow the Lord. Is it making sense to anybody? Yes, sir. You can't take control and take it by the horns and make it happen. Right. Out of your own strength and your own intellect and your own abilities and yet still say, I trust the Lord with my life. Amen. Thank you, Brother Garrett. Jesus chose men that would follow. And we don't see where he explained how this is going to work. And you see, here's your job description and here's the elastic clause. Here's what will be expected of you. Did you know you're going to hang on a cross upside down, son? They didn't know what all that meant. But the Bible said in verse 20, and straightway, there was something in the heart of these men. They were looking for someone they could trust. There was something about this man. And you could say, well, they knew he was the Messiah. No, they didn't. The Bible lets us know. It was much later before the revelation come. But they recognized the authority of this man. And when he called them, they willingly and readily threw down what they were doing. It wasn't their hobbies or their video games or their pleasure. They didn't easily cast away something that didn't matter to them. No, you know what they threw away? They threw away their livelihood. They threw away their security. They threw away everything that made them a man, taking care of their family. What are you doing, Peter? I'm following the Lord. Jesus said, follow me. Follow me. We want a lot of explanations, don't we? We want to see the end from the beginning. But Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And without hesitation, these men walked away from their livelihood. They didn't falter. They didn't make excuses. They didn't say, hey, but this is the family business. I just can't walk away from this. It's not that easy. You don't understand. You expect me to give all this up? The story of the rich young ruler, to me, is one of the saddest stories that is recorded in the Gospels. He comes to Jesus, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And this man thought he had all the bases covered. He had always done good. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't a liar. He was a keeper of the commandments. And from his youth up, his record was right. He thought he had all the boxes checked. This is interesting because it tells me that we can check all the boxes and make sure everything's in line, but not truly be a disciple, a follower, someone that's willing to go where they're asked to go and do what they're asked to do without argument, hesitation. And this man, his treasure on earth, the things that he had attained. obtained and acquired and possessed meant more to him than the treasure in heaven. The things that would decay after he was dead and gone, the things that he would have to pass on to someone else at his burial, he held on to them and exchanged it for eternal life. A treasure in heaven. Mark 10 and 21, Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. The next verse said he was very sad. He was sad at that saying. That's not what he wanted to hear. I'm not going to take the time to go into it, but it's very obvious that while this man maybe had some right desires, he was pretty proud of himself. He had it all together. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. It seems if it's God, Jesus was putting his finger on his problem. You're not good enough. I just need you to follow. Your stuff is not going to buy it. I need you to follow. For this man, it was an insurmountable obstacle in his path to follow Jesus. He was unwilling to let go of his material possessions. The Bible tells us we cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot truly follow the Lord and hang on to our desires and our material lusts and the things of this world. No man can have two masters. As long as you think you are the CEO, there is no room for God to direct your life. This man walked away. The Bible lets us see that the disciples saw this. That they witnessed this exchange. Oh, no doubt Peter's mind and Andrew's mind went back to the day that call was given to them. And they heard the voice of Jesus as he walked by the seashore and he said, follow me. And without hesitation, they begin to follow the Lord. How they must have looked at this man who had the same invitation, who had the same opportunity, but he walked away, the Bible said, very sad. He was grieved. He was sorrowful. It was a hard saying what Jesus told him. It was more than he was willing to let go of. He didn't want to follow Jesus near as bad as he thought he did. Jesus explains to them how hard it is for those who are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those that are entangled with material things and pleasures of this world have a hard time forsaking all and following Jesus. Peter speaks up and said, we have left all. I don't really hear arrogance here. I read over this several times, and I don't see that Peter was, you know, comparing himself and like, hey, what about us? It just didn't seem like that to me. And Jesus' response really didn't indicate that Peter had a bad spirit or attitude or anything like that. But he said, we have left all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you. Now he was talking to his disciples right here, his 12, I believe, and he said, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But then In Matthew 19 and 29, he said, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, 100 times more than what you gave up." Whoo, my. He said, "And shall inherit eternal life. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." You see, we get all this tangled up when we make ourselves CEO. When we put ourselves in charge. And we remove God out of the place of Master and Lord and Savior and Lord, I'll follow you. Doesn't mean too much when we chart our own path, does it? And I've come to tell somebody that serving God with all your heart is not the lesser option. I'm going to say that again. Serving God with all your heart is not the lesser option. Don't feel sorry for me. Oh, hallelujah. Well, it feels good in the Holy Ghost here today. When you meet somebody that has truly given up things to follow God, that has truly forsaken all to follow God, they will not be complaining. You know what I found? Those that complain, they haven't truly surrendered. They have not truly given it to God and put it on the altar. They're still hanging on to it. And that's a frustrating place to be. But when you put it on the altar and you say, "God, here's my career. Take it or leave it." Now don't do that if you don't mean it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
When you put a career on the altar, you know what that is? You're saying, "God, if you want me to have it, I'll do it. And if you've got something else in mind, I'll do that." Is that all right? Well, but no, I'm talking about following God. I'm talking about I don't want anything in my life that would entangle me, that would be the cause of my shipwreck, that would be the cause of me going astray and resisting the hand of God.
That's right. Yes, sir. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord.
And you could put your career on the altar. I'm just using that for an example, but you could put your career on the altar. And he says, "No, that's where I want you. That's where I want you. Work for me there." Amen. But the point is you put it on the altar and you said, "God, you tell me."
Right, that's right. Amen. Help us, Lord. Help us.
I didn't think about this till just now, but Pastor, I remember a conversation with you when Sandra and I were talking. And a lot of frustration trying to figure out the mind of God, trying to figure out a lot of things, and you told me, "Put her on the altar." You probably don't remember that, but I know where we were. It was one of those moments. Put her on the... What did he mean by that? Is this relationship of God? If it is, it'll stand. It'll last. God will work it out. If it's not... Oh, I left that weeping because I knew what that meant when I truly put her on the altar. I knew that might mean it's not the will of God and he's going to tell me to do something else. Thank God that's not the story. But I'm telling you, you got to be willing. You can't ball up your fist and get frustrated with God and be a follower. But the blessings of the obedient are worth every sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. Can we lift our hands and pray together right now? In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Complete surrender comes with the revelation of the benefits. Complete surrender comes with a revelation of the inheritance. Once you've realized what you gained, you'll never look back with regret. Song that's been rolling over in my mind says, I lay down all lesser things for greater gain. I don't really know who I'm talking to all of us here tonight. I lay down all lesser things. What's lesser? Material things. Yeah. Things of this world that may not be bad. For sure, things that are sinful. Weights that does so easily beset us. Hobbies that entangle us and consume our minds. Is this all right tonight?
Yes, sir.
Things that we like to do that in and of themselves aren't bad. But there comes a time you better lay it on the altar. I said you better lay it on the altar. You might have to bring it back to the altar sometime later. God, I'm just making sure this is still okay. I don't want this to be an entrapment for me. I don't want this to be all consuming. I'm telling you, it's so easy. It's so easy the day we live to have so many distractions and things that compete with God. Before you know it, you can be off course, charting your own path, not paying attention to the compass, because you've become so entangled with the things of this world. Oh, hallelujah. We got to lay down all lesser things. I'm preaching to a church that wants revival. We have revival. We're experiencing revival. But there's greater things than these. Oh, hallelujah. There's greater places in the Holy Ghost. There's greater works that God wants each and every one of us. Not just the church. I'm not preaching collectively. I'm trying to preach to you. And I'm trying to preach to you. There's things that God is looking at your life and saying, will you follow me? What does that mean? What's that going to require? Oh, somewhere we've got to learn to trust God, who knows all things, whose ways are higher than our ways, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What are you saying, preacher? Am I supposed to leave what I'm doing? Am I supposed to quit college? I don't know. I don't know. That's between you and God and your pastor. I'm preaching to you. You've got to be willing. Because when you're not willing, you're full of pride and arrogance. And God can't use you. I don't know how to make it any plainer than that. But when you're not willing to put it on the altar, there's something you're holding on to. There's a spirit of selfishness that you've gotten a hold of. I want this. I want this. No! Put it on the altar. God, if He takes it away, He'll give you 100-fold in its place. Oh my God, I feel the boldness of the Holy Ghost. You want to be a soul winner? There might be some things you need to put on the altar. You put them there. You put them in the hands of God. And you watch what God does in your life. I want us to lift our hands and talk to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hesitate to use this, but I'm going to. I think it'll make my point, but I remember early on we had just had Carter. And we was in our first house, and it wasn't much, but it was ours. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And we had done a lot of things to it, knocked out some walls and laid some tile, and it was the house that had our first baby room. Somehow that first one's always much more magnificent. You know what I mean? And had a lot of sentimental attachments. And it was a time of our life we were responding to the call of God. And having a garage sale, selling a lot of things, liquidating. Look, they weren't worth much, okay? It wasn't like we had wealth that we were liquidating. Don't get the wrong idea. But it was our junk, wasn't it? And some of it was sentimental. And anyway, a lot of I want to get to the point, but a lot of emotions in that season of our life of following the Lord. And we were standing there, people were coming, and they were actually paying us for our junk. My wife might not be liking this, because she likes some of that stuff. No, I'm teasing. But we had no regrets. You understand? No regrets. To this day, no regrets. None. Do it over in a heartbeat. But we're there, and there's some emotion there involved, and my wife remembered the words to a song, and it so expressed the way we felt. She said, "I give myself away so that you could use me." I don't know how many times we sung that. We just make the statement to each other during the following years. I give myself. This is not about me, you understand. But there's got to be that level of sacrifice. It said, it doesn't matter the cost. It doesn't matter how I feel in the moment. I'm willing because I want to be used of God. I want God to be able to do something that matters in my life. I'm closing with this, but I was on vacation, beautiful part of the country, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I'm telling you, I could live there, okay? Beautiful, beautiful country. And the thought went through my mind, and you know, if it wasn't for the kingdom, if it wasn't for doing something that matters, I could see myself not on a horse and buggy, but I mean for recreation. You understand what I'm saying? There's things that you would do if you were just trying to please yourself. There's places that you might would rather live, and but you're here because you want to do something for God. There's no way in the world I would exchange what I have now for anything like that. I'm telling you, I'll give it all away. That means a little more now than it did 15 years ago. To know that I'm in the will of God and that I'm following. Oh my God, I feel this so much tonight that I'm following. I want to follow the Lord. I don't want anything in my life to derail me. And I wake up one day and I say, where is he? Why am I frustrated? I'm telling you, there's a better way to live. There's a better way to live as we're standing here tonight. I don't know what it is in your life that the Lord has dealt with you about as we have worked our way through this message. I don't know what it is that he's talking to your heart about. I don't know what's the hang up. I don't know what might seem insurmountable today. And I'm telling you, And I've talked about some things, and chances are that God will not require you to leave your city or quit your job. Chances are good for most of you. That's not what I'm talking about today. For some, it may be when you lay it on the altar, that might be the path that he asks you to follow, but that's up to you and God. But the right response to the call is the same for us all. I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing to cancel my membership to other things. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be a disciple. I'm willing to speak when he wants me to speak, and I'm willing to teach. For some, Lord, I'm willing to preach. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. I'm willing. I'm willing to lay down all the lesser things. At the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. Those things that have no consequence on eternity. If you ask me to lay it down, God, I'm willing. I wonder if there's something in your life tonight that you want to come lay down on the altar and say, God, help me to put this in perspective. It's not really that big a deal. But following you, it's the most important decision of my life. It's what I want to do. And these altars are open tonight. God, anything that hinders, anything that stands in the way, anything that consumes too much of my attention, God, I lay it on the altar. I give it to you, Lord. I put it under your scrutiny. God, just speak the word and I'll follow you. I want to be effective in your kingdom, God. I want to be used for your glory, God. I want my life to matter. I want it to matter for eternity, God. Hallelujah. I'm not my own, God, but I'm bought with a price. I'm willing to follow you, God. Oh, come on. Your decision tonight might mean the salvation of a coworker. Your decision tonight might have a great effect on eternity for somebody, including yourself. I'm willing, God. I'm willing to follow. Hallelujah.
Lord, I will follow.